This is Insight on Business, the news hour for Wednesday, November 6th, 2013. My name is Michael Libby, and for the next hour, we'll guide you through the business news of the day as we bring you the stocks and the commodity report from agriculture. Along with the business news, we'll make welcome two guests to the IOB studios, Ernest Phillips of Tug Coaching and Training. You know, one of the toughest things about business is building relationships with employees, consumers, fellow workers. We'll talk about that with Ernest this half hour. And then after the stocks and commodity report, at the bottom of the hour, we're going to be banking welcome Adam Obrecht. He's the owner of AO Wealth Advisory. We're going to talk to him about his small business, how he works with business and individuals, and what gifting can mean for everyone involved. Adam Obrecht, next half hour. We'll get to the business news of the day right after we check the weather and the traffic. Thanks for taking us along for the ride. This is Insight on Business, the news hour. When we come back, we'll be joined by Ernest Phillips of Tug Consulting. What does Tug stand for? And what about this business of building relationships? That's all in business next. This is Insight on Business, the news hour, and we'll be right back.
Support for Insight on Business, the news hour, comes from Mr. B Clothing. Clothing for business and leisure. Rick Davis Loans, Home Loans Made Easy. And Merit Resources, where they carry your employee's backpack.
Welcome back to the news hour, ladies and gentlemen. 15 minutes now past the hour of 5 o'clock. You're driving home. You're driving home in pretty nice weather. 43 degrees in the capital city right now. Look for a low tonight down near 31. And then for tomorrow, clear skies return to our city and a high of about 48 degrees. Should be a perfect day for you. Well, I don't know much about this other than the fact that I do know that in business, relationships matter. Relationships matter between the business and consumers. Relationships matter between coworkers. Relationships matter with employees. And we thought, let's learn a little bit more about this with Ernest Phillips. Ernest is the founder of Tug Consulting, and he's stepped in studio with us to talk a little bit about his business and what it is that he does. And he even brought gifts. He brought a book. Welcome to the News Hour.
Thank you very much.
Well, Ernest, I am dying to know. You know, we all talk about relationships and relationship building and how important that is across the spectrum. What is it that you do and how do you do it?
I focus on the universals of relationship building. And what I found is there are key parts on what makes any relationship healthy. And I took those universals and I apply them in a few areas. One is emotional intelligence. So it's about knowing who you are, knowing your personal brand, and being able to actually relate to the person and make the connection with that other individual, regardless of that situation.
And so all of us have this personal branding mechanism of ours. And we need to find those things of like qualities in others?
Well, a lot of people go with like things that are in common. Okay. What I focus on are your values. Ah. We all have certain values that we adhere to in our decision making, what we're drawn to. And I use a tool called a values fingerprint. And what it does is it's an analysis of who you are in terms of values. So once we start there, we're able to connect on whether it's truth, respect, love, humor, which, by the way, those are my top values.
Love and humor.
Truth, respect, love, humor. Those are four of my top ones. Got and it. I will always be able to connect to someone who has those as a high values.
Uh-huh. So, and how do we know, obviously we hire you, how do we know what our values are?
Most people don't.
Ah.
And so, consequently, they are living from a place of feelings, from avoiding past, just trying not to get into the same situation that they've been in before. So they're really just sort of drifting.
Tug Consulting. So Tug means what?
Truth, understanding, grace. And those are the building blocks of every relationship that is healthy, I should start.
You know, that's an interesting thing. Truth, understanding, those I got. And then you add that little kicker at the end, grace.
Absolutely.
Why? Tell us about that.
Grace is that forgiveness. Grace is that allowing you to miss the mark and still score the points. So since we all are flawed, we need that grace and that forgiveness going in, embedded in every situation.
Ernest Phillips, ladies and gentlemen, with us talking about his business. It is Tug Consulting. Who hires Ernest Phillips?
Great question. There are two main entities of my business. There is the personal part. Mm-hmm. And right now, the main clientele is women ages about 30 to 50. They're typically married or divorced. And they're trying to find out either how do I get more out of my marriage, or they're trying to figure out how do I get into a new marriage without having the same results. Those are the prime people who are reaching out on the individual side. On the business side, it is the soft skills. So right now, one of my main clients is Project Iowa, which is the premier job training program in the state of Iowa. And you can go to project.org, and we are providing the soft skills and that emotional intelligence training for these young and older individuals, so when they go to a business, they not only have the technical skills, but the soft skills.
The people skills.
The people skills, which, by the way, is the difference maker in success.
Absolutely. It is 100 times so much more important if somebody comes to me and they say, and they have positive interpersonal skills. That means a lot more to me than the technical things. You can teach technical. I think you can perhaps even teach, maybe you can teach those personal skills, but I some people have it naturally, you know, and they naturally are warm and engaging, I think is another good word, and sincere and honest and trustworthy and all those other good Boy Scout mentality or those Boy Scout kudos that we talk about. So I just read an interesting thing. You were talking about women being 30 to 50, either married or single.
Yes.
I just read an interesting thing that single women are leaving Facebook in droves, apparently. This is an interesting thing. I'm really delighted that you're here because I just heard this today and I wanted to bounce this off of you. And why are single women leaving Facebook in droves? Well, the researchers said that because feelings of inadequacy, if they are single, they are being bombarded constantly by messages of weddings and pictures of brides and pictures of happy families and all of these other things. And so they say sometimes that pressure is just too much and I don't want to be in that space anymore. What does that sound like to you?
Sounds very realistic. Right now, women are in a brand new position. We have more unmarried women in this country than married for the first time. There are more numbers of women, but they have been told they have to have everything, and they can have everything. And now they're being hit with having more women as breadwinners. So now life balance becomes the unreachable goal because no one's told them how, but told them they're supposed to have it. So it doesn't surprise me that they're leaving Facebook because they're tired of the constant message that you're not enough because you should have more.
I see. Ernest Phillips, what a fascinating thing that you do. Now, obviously, perhaps other people are thinking this, and I'll ask the question for them. What gives you the insight, if you will, to be able to do this? What is your training?
My training is, my degree is in psychology, and then my coaching training I got from Coach University, which is really considered the Harvard of coaching. And so I found I found what it was that I believed in, which is the core aspect of relationship building, because it affects everything you do. Those people who can build relationships will always have success. And those who cannot will never, I mean, they just don't reach the success that they typically desire.
And so when we're talking about on the business side of things and relationships and interpersonal relationships and employee relationships,
yes.
Ask any employer out there and they will tell you that, and ask any employee, one of the, if they're not celebrated at work, if people aren't enjoying work, if they're not enjoying their time there, they're miserable, their productivity goes down, and they have trouble. Is there a space in business for you to help businesses understand more about the psychology of relationships with employees?
Absolutely. And it would really be coming from the HR department that would hire me out. And what I would be able to do is come in and work with both the HR in terms of the hiring, in terms of what to look for, but also with the current employees. The emotional intelligence and relationship building are skills. They can be taught. They can be trained. And once applied, differences happen.
Tug Phillips, Ernest Phillips in studio with us at Tug Consulting. If you got a question for him, you can join us on Twitter. It's at IOB underscore NewsHour. That's at IOB underscore NewsHour. We're talking about relationships and building relationships and how important that is for business. What about consumers? We had a guest on our show. Johnny Wright is his name. He's a fabulous guy, and he talks to business about how to hire the right people. And he tells me, and he told our audience, that the most important thing is to hire happy people. If you hire happy people, they will be happy on the job, and they will create happiness and wealth for their employer and themselves. Truth to that?
Absolutely. People who are who have grace, and people who look for the happiness are the ones who find it. People who are waiting for someone else to do that job are typically miserable. Soft skills, the communication, conflict management, teamwork, those are three aspects of soft skills. And currently, Generation X is considered to have the least amount of those skills.
And why is that?
They're not being taught.
Ah.
It's hard to learn what you have never seen. And
okay, so let's get into that a little bit more. So they've never been taught. Why do you feel that Generation X has not been taught these skills?
Now, this is my opinion.
This is
my opinion.
You're on the hot seat.
That's good, because I believe we have gotten away from holding each other accountable. And without accountability, there is no growth. I see some of these sports where they're doing scores where there's no winners, there's no losers, and it's been a detriment. And what I have found is, in the attempt to raise self-esteem by not allowing them to feel pain
or to fail,
we have absolutely crippled them. And one of the tug tips, which is in my book that I release, is the best way to confidence is with competence, not compliments.
Ah.
When you are good at something, when you learn how to be good at something, is what builds your self-confidence. Not someone standing over you as like the helicopter parent saying, you're the best, you can be whatever you want, when they know that's not truth.
That is an interesting thing to talk about, because if they're not being taught these skills at home, then somewhere along the line they've got to get them. Or they're going to live, in your opinion, apparently, that's going to be some abject failure for them somewhere down the road when they suddenly come face to face with reality.
It's going to be abject failure. It's going to affect their self-esteem, their personal brand, their personal outlook on life. They're going to have a greater difficulty in both obtaining jobs. So now they're spending $50,000 on a degree expecting $75,000 job right out of college, and the reality hits them, and they don't have the skills.
Isn't that amazing? His name is Ernest Phillips, ladies and gentlemen. It's Tug Consulting here in the Metro. How long have you been doing this?
I've been doing this since about, 2005, but I've been working with families and children for a couple decades. So that's really,
started. Taking this to a business model is kind of interesting, because we've had business coaches on, and people who talk about how to help business people with their skill set, whatever those skill sets happen to be that they need. But we've never really broached this subject about building relationships between business and employees or employers and coworkers and consumers and things like that, and how critical that is. Can you imagine having a brick and mortar store and going to work every day and not having those soft skills? I wouldn't think you'd last very long.
They have jobs. Some of them are in management right now, and they are costing companies thousands and millions of dollars every year.
And simply because?
The turnover, the amount of turnover, the amount of not being able to attract excellent talent.
Well, we talk about this all the time, about how it costs so much less to do good retention work with employees and consumers or members or whatever it happens to be. If you can retain the people, it costs you a heck of a lot less. We were just with Jason White yesterday from the Warren County Economic Development Corporation, and he was talking about the amount of work that his group does to attempt to retain business and retain industry in Warren County, and that is so much more rewarding at the end of the day than going out there and trying to find new, because if you mess up with regard to your retention, guess what? You're having to spend a lot more money trying to acquire or recruit. I would imagine the same goes in any business.
Every business.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's a fascinating piece of work. His name is Ernest Phillips, Tug Consulting. How do people get a hold of you?
Great question. You can get a hold of me at www.tugcoaching.com. And my book, Tug Tips, is available on firewalkerpublishing.com.
All right. Well, we've got all that, and we'll be putting that in the podcast, of course, and letting people know more about you. Thanks, Ernest, for coming in. For full disclosure, ladies and gentlemen, Ernest and I have been cyber friends for a long time.
Yes, sir.
But we've never actually sat in the same room together. So this is kind of interesting. Ernest Phillips, ladies and gentlemen, it is tugcoaching.com. That's tugcoaching.com. We're going to make room for the Wall Street Journal report, the weather, traffic, stocks of local interest, and a report on the commodity market. Then we'll make welcome our second guest of the day, Adam Obrecht. This is Insight on Business, the NewsHour.
So much that we need to share, so send a smile and show you care. Right. I'll give a little bit. I'll give a little bit.
46. When we come back, Adam Obrecht from the AO Wealth Advisory. Stay with us. This is Insight on Business, the NewsHour.
Support for Insight on Business, the NewsHour, comes from the Creamer Law Firm of West Des Moines, a partner for closing held companies. West Bank of West Des Moines, for business, they're West Bank strong. And the Warren County Economic Development Corporation of Indianola, Warren County is open for business.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is the NewsHour. We've got 20 minutes now before the top of the hour. Top of the hour, CBS News comes in. You want to communicate with us? It's really easy. We are on Twitter. We follow Twitter before, during, and after each broadcast. That's at IOB underscore NewsHour. That's at IOB underscore NewsHour. And if you've got a story about your business or somebody's business that you know of, easy to get to us there as well. All you have to do is send us an email, iobnewsroom@gmail.com. That's iobnewsroom@gmail.com. AOWealth.com. With us in studio is Adam Obrecht, ladies and gentlemen. He not only has AO Wealth Advisory, it's a business in one of the suburbs in Urbandale. He is also the president of the school board in Urbandale. And Adam and I have crossed paths many times in the great city of Urbandale, and we welcome him to the NewsHour. Welcome, Adam. Glad you're here.
Thank you very much.
This wealth in business. You've got an interesting tagline. I'm going to read this because I think this really says a lot, I think, about the quality of what it is that you do, and we're going to get into that in just a minute. My mission is to help clients maximize what they earn. That mm-hmm. makes sense, right? Invest wisely and give generously to their family, charities, and the community. Now, it's that last line that you usually don't hear much of when you're talking to financial planners.
Yep.
That, I think, is interesting. Why?
The give generously part is you can't take it with you. It all has to go somewhere.
Right.
So you might as well be in charge of where it goes, whether that's directing it out. I was at a luncheon today, heard a compelling message, and was able to hand over some dollars accordingly.
Hmm.
Other times, it's a longer-term view and setting up endowments or setting up ways that organizations can survive long into the future, even after you.
Yeah, and we had Gordon Fisher in a couple of weeks ago from
yep.
the Greater Des Moines Community Foundation. And what a great corpus they've got that they're utilizing to do all kinds of good throughout the community. And those kinds of corpuses or those kinds of things come about because of folks like you.
Yeah, and with the Endow Iowa tax credit that they have, it's just a phenomenal way for people to give. I've got some clients that have some very high capital gain possibilities mm-hmm. out there, and so we're gifting that stock into the community foundation. So not only do we get income tax credits, you get federal deductibility, you get to avoid the capital gain. So the tax law is really structured to force dollars into that realm.
And what is it that most people don't get when it comes to financial planning?
That they may have enough, that they haven't maybe set that enough line for them, how much do I need to live off of? The normal answer is 20% more than what I have.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm making $50,000, I want 20% more. If I'm making $100,000, I want 20% more. And sometimes stepping back and going, well, what is really that enough line and when do you reach it?
And how do you help folks get to that level?
Really, it's through logic and helping them understand what is enough for them. Do they really want XYZ? Do they really want the boat in the Bahamas? Not really.
They'd
rather, yeah. Let's be realistic. Spending time with their kids and grandkids probably trumps that.
Yeah.
Do they really want to go get their pilot's license or do something that way? And stepping back a little bit and going, no, this is the reality of where we want to be. And if we have this much money, then we can do that.
Adam Obrecht, ladies and gentlemen, he is with Adam Obrecht, AO Wealth Advisory. And he's a financial planner and somebody that works with, I'm sure, people of all walks of life. Most individuals, and that's a great intro to this question, most individuals think that financial planners are only for those individuals who are super rich. True or false?
False. The financial planning industry, while its target market is probably the top 12%, there's a lot of people in the financial planning industry that love to just help. We have the heart of teachers that you hear another popular radio voice say, but we're out there to help people out. It may not be that you need our services on an ongoing basis mm-hmm. like the top 12% do, but sometimes it's maybe that check-in, that rewriting of a will type check-in, and every 5-year thing, are you on the right track?
And you're an Iowa State graduate, I believe,
yes.
correct? Yeah. How you doing?
Got the basketball tickets in the mail.
That's a pretty good segue. It's an excellent answer, too. So when people come to you, what is usually the first couple of questions that they have?
It's usually, can I retire?
Can I retire?
Is usually the first one. And the second one is, if they have kids, can I afford college?
Mm-hmm. What about businesses? What about transferring businesses? If I've got a business out there, it's a brick and mortar store, and maybe I don't have anybody in my family, or there is, but there's no interest in taking over the business, is that something you help with as well?
Yeah, and really the biggest challenge is there is first identifying somebody that has the skills to take it over.
Sure.
And then second, the money piece of it. how do you transition that business to the next person that maybe has those skills, but it may be an employee that you have, great at what they do, but they haven't accumulated the wealth to be able to buy you out.
So there's got to be a way, though, to make that happen.
Yeah.
In such a way that you get whatever the goodie is for the business and still allow the employee, if that's the case, to take over the business.
Yeah, and it usually means that the current business owner has to wait to get paid.
Exactly. Yeah.
That it's an earn-out situation. It's a delay in them getting their dollars up front because that employee doesn't have the capital.
Yeah, and I think that there's lots of that out there, isn't there? Where there isn't a lot of capital. You know, a couple of years ago, people were throwing money at individuals who wanted to borrow.
Mm-hmm.
That whole credit thing has tightened up significantly. And I would imagine many individuals find themselves in that position. You know, if they're going to want to buy something or they're wanting to get into business or something like that, how are they going to get the capital to make that happen? And I'm sure this would be one way in which a person could reward a great employee and the employee could take over a business.
Yeah, I mean, whether it's seller financing, there were some good state laws passed around the mm-hmm. ESOP programs mm-hmm. and allowing part of the company to go to be all employee owned and a way for the
Very
business
popular.
Owner to get some cash out that way. And it's also giving up control. You know, you may have your ownership still in the business, but you got to give up that day-to-day control to allow them to grow it, to earn their way into it.
Absolutely. You know, there's so many individuals out there in business that are in business on a day-to-day basis or a month-to-month basis. And, you know, most business owners are good at whatever it is that they do. If they're manufacturing something or if they're selling something or if they're creating something, but it's the financial stuff that sometimes gets us in trouble.
A lot of times.
Why is that?
Because it's not what we focus on. If you're,
although,
yeah,
if there ain't any coming in, you know.
Yep. If you're making orange barrels and you're really good at making orange barrels along the road,
you like to make orange barrels.
You like to make orange barrels. You don't want to have to worry about 401ks. You don't want to have to worry about how to transition it or how to pay off the bank sooner and get them out of your life. Things like that. You want to worry about how to make the process better and cheaper so you can make more money.
So, is this something that you could help with?
Yeah, and that's what the financial planning industry does. That's what I do with my clients, both business owners as well as individual households. Help them try to figure out that first part of that tagline is earn. You're earning a certain amount of money. How do you maximize the use of those dollars?
And this is something, and again, we come back to the 12% of the individuals who are high income earners. And the misconception is that that's where you spend the majority of your time. But there's not that many people in that upper 12%. So you've got to find business among others.
Yeah.
How do you market your business?
For me, it's a lot of network marketing. It's going to coffees with people. It's going to Urbandale Chamber events. A little bit on the social media side, but there's a lot of regulations about what
sure is.
Can be said and can't be said in my industry, at least. So for me, it's the one-on-one connections.
And most of that is through networking
yes.
opportunities?
Yeah.
Or being introduced by satisfied customers?
Satisfied customers. Also work with a couple different attorneys in town, meet different people
sure.
that they themselves may not be a great candidate for my services, but they introduced me to a friend that does.
Got it.
A phone call that way yesterday.
Adam Obrecht, ladies and gentlemen, he is AO Wealth Advisory in Urbandale, and we're talking to him about that very topic, wealth. How do you get it? How do you create it? And how do you keep it? And it's confusing, I think, for most people. It really is. What took you down this path?
Probably should have known that I was going to go down this path. I still remember when I was 11 years old telling my dad to buy AT&T stock. So unfortunately, he didn't, but it was still part of that process. Came out of college going to be an ag lender, work with farmers
sure.
the rest of my life. But then there was a move after we got married. My wife and I got married and moved to Des Moines, and that was when I changed
ag
careers.
Lending here is a little on the light side.
Yeah, there's not too much agriculture happening in the center of the city, for sure.
You know, and that's another area. Our advertising agency, we spend a lot of time in that agricultural world. And that's a fascinating, fascinating side of the economy. Because in that world, not only do we have what we call traditional farmers, we have so many sustainable farmers. And happening in this city, starting tomorrow, is Women in Agriculture, the sustainable model. And they're having a huge meeting here in town. And women are starting to take a larger role, mostly because men tend to die soon, or unfortunately, sooner than the women. And so there's more and more farmers that are women. And in the sustainable side of this, the growth of farmers markets and community-oriented markets and things like that have brought in this glut of people who are making a wonderful living on 25, 30, 40 acres of land. It's fascinating stuff.
Yep. Yeah, and when I was an ag lender, one of the groups I used to work with up in Osage was the Mennonite families.
Oh, sure.
And
there you go.
They would easily sustain a family of six or seven on 120 acres, 160 acres. I mean, it was because they used everything about the ground. You know, the crops went to the livestock went to help the gardens, the gardens went to help feed the food. It was just this sustainable process.
It is remarkable to watch that in action.
Yep. And it can still happen in today's world.
It's
not something where you have to have 1,000 acres of ground. If you're just row cropping only, you do. If you add on these value add extras, then there's other opportunities.
And I think that's something about agriculture most people don't quite get just yet, but they're starting to. I mean, when we put 20 to 25,000 people every Saturday down to the farmers market in downtown Des Moines, that's significant. And I think people are starting to put this together that there is some wealth to be made on small acreages and farms. But we're not here to talk about that. Let's just, let's go down that rabbit hole for just a little bit. As long as I've got you here and you're the president of the school board, let's talk a little bit about the Urbandale schools.
Yeah, love to.
I would imagine so. Urbandale's school system has been well touted for a long, long time. What is it that makes the Urbandale School District, in your mind, such a winning combination?
We're, I think, just the right size. When you look around us, we've got other districts that are growing very fast. We added about 50 students this year in total. So we're up to about 3,900 total students in the Urbandale District. That puts us at a nice size. We do a lot competitively, academically, as well as athletically out there. And our teachers are really embracing a student-centered classroom where it's the kids that are leading the discussion, not always the teacher.
Hmm. You know, we were charged by the city of Urbandale. Our agency was charged with finding out some unique things about Urbandale because their tagline is uniquely Urbandale. So, if you're going to have that as a tagline, there better be something out there that's unique. Yep. And one of the curious things that we found, and ladies and gentlemen, I'm sure you don't know this because nobody other than us picked up on it in the media, but there are 47 different languages being spoken at the Urbandale High School.
Yep.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and obviously we had a lot of Bosnian immigration into central Iowa. A lot of it landed in Urbandale. There's a lot of different African languages that are spoken, the Spanish language is actually number two, not the number one alternative language spoke in the homes in Urbandale
students. Isn't that amazing? And people just are, when I tell that story privately to individuals, they are shocked.
Yep.
They have no conception. They thought everybody in Urbandale must be white and middle class.
No, we've got, really we go from an urban district
yes.
to a suburban district, and depends on which building you're in on the elementary level of that. But that's what brings great diversity too. I mean, that's the unique thing we hear a lot from our parents is it's not just everybody's looks like us. Yeah. It's not like choosing like when it comes to Urbandale schools.
Well, congratulations and thank you for your service to the community. I think that's those kinds of jobs are tough jobs. You have to run for office for these things and you have to get kicked around a little bit. And so, but thank you. You know, somebody's got to do that stuff, and we're proud to know the president of the Urbandale School District. What do you think about that? Thanks so very much for coming in. Adam Obrecht, ladies and gentlemen. AO Wealth Advisory. You'll find them in Urbandale. When we come back, we've got a couple of other stories about the business trends here in the city of Des Moines and in the metro. This is Insight on Business, the NewsHour.
Support for Inside on Business The News Hour comes from Mr. B Clothing, clothing for business and leisure, Rick Davis Loans, Home Loans Made Easy, and Merit Resources, where they carry your employee's backpack.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Just a couple of minutes before the top of the hour, we got to scoot out of here. But before we do, got to tell you this. The number of residential building permits issued over the year ending in September increased by 9.3%, according to data compiled by the Home Builders Association of Greater Des Moines. Our friend Creighton Cox, the organization's executive officer, said the numbers could show a 10% jump by year's end. The report also shows a trend for a decline in the construction of multifamily projects and an increase in single-family homes and townhouses. Apartment units dropped 23.5% over the year ending in September. Single-family construction increased 36.4% as of September. However, the number of multifamily units in Des Moines virtually had a dramatic increase to 577 from 113. Cox said construction of apartment buildings has leveled in Greater Des Moines, with an improvement in the economy and a rise in prices for existing homes, making new construction more affordable. If you want something really interesting and global, tomorrow, Drake is going to host a panel discussion on understanding Islamic finance systems with four experts, including Norapa Kamso, advisor of the Group Islamic Banking Division for Commerce International Merchant Bankers. It's a free event. It takes place between 7 and 8 p.m. tomorrow in the Sussman Theater on Drake's campus. Cosmo is considered an expert in corporate credit and lending and is recognized for establishing CIMB lending practices. Something very international at Drake, always it seems. Thanks so very much for joining us. This has been Insight on Business, the News Hour. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, from 5 until 6 p.m. You want to get in touch with us? IOB_NewsHour on Twitter. That's IOB_NewsHour. Send us your press release, IOBNewsroom@gmail.com. For our board op and technical advisor, Dustin Halverson, also our good friend, Mary Sayer, who's absent today. My name is Michael Libby. Thanks so very much for joining us. This has been Insight on Business, the News Hour. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good night.